Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to continue our dialogue and discussion today. We're talking about doctrines that destroy. And one of the primary doctrines that destroy, that is destroying a person for eternity, is a misunderstanding, a misnomer, a misconception about the doctrine of biblical salvation. This is the reason we need to understand the doctrine of sin and the doctrine of salvation. The two go together because were it not for sin, there'd be no need for salvation. Because of sin, there's the need for biblical salvation. Salvation comes through none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is one of the professors in the Bible College and Seminary, Conservative Theological University, teaches some of the Bible courses and doctrinal courses, theological courses in the seminary. And we're talking about that subject today, of the doctrine of biblical salvation. There are many voices today giving many different ideas on the subject of salvation, the plan of salvation. I'm just going to, Dr. Phelps, take a minute and set the stage for our listeners. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to join in the dialogue and discussion, or if you've got a question about your salvation, or a question about what you believe, or a question about what you've been taught, I'd love to have you call 831-0917, 831-0917. You can join in the dialogue and the discussion. Ask your question. I don't have any better time for you to clarify in your own mind, heart, and thoughts as to how you're saved, how you know you're saved, or how do you get saved. Perhaps you're listening today and you've never been Bible saved, blood bought, Bible saved, as I call it, born again. If you've never been saved, perhaps you could call and ask your questions and allow us to walk through that with you so that you have this understanding of your eternal security, knowing that you know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Dr. Phelps, the Jehovah's Witnesses, we're talking about three or four of these, and then we're going to set the stage for the final discussion on this subject that I believe is vital for us to understand today. In the Jehovah's Witnesses, salvation is not by faith alone in Christ alone. It is by faith and works that you do. Therefore, it is something that's earned. It's not something that is a free gift. It is earned. It is a life of constantly having to be sure that you keep up the good works, to be sure that you're saved. I've used the term, Dr. Phelps, it's like getting on the bicycle and you learn how to ride. You're pedaling the bicycle, but if you stop pedaling the bicycle falls over. And that's true when it comes to work salvation. And in Jehovah's Witness, it is a work salvation. And I could go into a lot of other theological misnomers, but we're focused on salvation. And if you have a misunderstanding of biblical salvation, you can die and go to hell and not realize that you're wrong in your relationship to Jesus Christ. The second one is, and I've talked about this so many times on this broadcast in the past several years, about Islam. Islam is works for Allah, and Allah is not God. A Muslim can live what he believes to be a dedicated life for Allah and yet never go to heaven, because Allah can send any person to hell at his will. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, the only way a Muslim, according to the Quran, can be assured of eternity in heaven, or as he calls it, paradise, is by committing jihad, that is, the murder of a non-Muslim. That's the only way. And by the way, for a Muslim, heaven is that place called paradise to them, and paradise is only arrived or derived at by murdering a non-Muslim. That is called jihad. And then you have all the eternity with, 72 black-eyed virgins, as their theology or ideology teaches them. That is the furthest thing from the truth of the Word of God. Then you have the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. Good works are required for salvation, Dr. Phelps, in Mormonism. Obedience to church doctrines and its rules. In fact, one of the key church leaders, and this is something, ladies and gentlemen, you need to hear and hear intently. One of the key church leaders in the Mormon Church, Spencer W. Kimball, well-known LSD leader, said, and I quote, listen to this quote carefully, ladies and gentlemen. He says, one of the most fallacious doctrines originated by Satan and propounded by man is that man is saved alone by the grace of God. That belief in Jesus alone is all that is needed for salvation, end quote. He is saying that if you believe it's faith alone and Christ alone, that you're wrong, because their theology, their position, their ideological bent is to believe that it's salvation through faith, grace, but with works. And without the works, there's no salvation. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, you find the sad, sad scenario with multitudes, mega numbers of those that are working themselves to death in the Mormon faith, and yet it is not focused on Jesus Christ and Christ alone for salvation. Then you have Roman Catholicism. It is said that somehow faith alone is what they believe, but yet, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just faith in Jesus alone. It is a person that it is a process that begins with baptism and includes good works in Roman Catholicism. It is also the Catholic sacraments and praying through Mary. Yet the Pope recently said, ladies and gentlemen, that hell is not a real place. So I'm in a state of consternation if they say it's faith alone in Jesus, and yet they talk about the sacraments and the good works, and now the Pope says there's no hell. What are you saved from? Dr. Phelps, I could go into a lot of details about multitudes of these false religions and these that are absolutely aberrant to anything that's called biblical theology. But let me just ask you a question in relationship to what is called the method of the new birth based on the scripture. What is being born again? People hear that term, and I don't think that it's well understood, even among Christians today, being born again. What is meant by that, and what should we understand? What should our listeners understand? Someone would ask you, "You're born again. Have you been born again? Do you know that you have? How do you know that you have? And how do you do that, ladies and gentlemen?" That's what's important, Dr. Phelps, I believe, is the question of being born again and what that connotes.
This topic that we're discussing is a matter of life and death.
Yes.
So that's why we think it is important, ladies and gentlemen. It's a mystery. The mystery of the new birth is something that we're talking about today. When you read the scriptures, then that mystery is clarified.
Yes.
In most of the religions of the world today, they mystify everything so that it seems that only the gurus, only the leaders, seem to know all about it. But we believe that the scriptures teach us that the new birth is vital to our hope that we have of heaven, the hope that we have in Christ. Jesus was talking to a religious man called Nicodemus in John chapter 3. He came to Jesus because he had seen the miracles that Jesus performed. Now, miracles are meant to let us know that God is at work,
yes,
in our midst. And so he came to Jesus, and Jesus then talked with him about another great miracle that he needs to see, and that is to be born again. I believe that's the greatest miracle in my estimation.
Yes.
Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, the kingdom of God was what the people of Israel were looking forward to. They were expecting a Messiah who would set up the kingdom, that is, restore to the nation of Israel the kingdom. And the kingdom meant that God would be their king. They would have only one king, that's the heavenly king, and God would set up what we call a theocracy. And so Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus then asked a question that showed that what Jesus was talking about was something he didn't know about. It was a mystery. He said, How can a man be born when he's old?"
Yeah, he was about 60 years old at the time.
He said, can a man enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born?" And so Jesus clarified that. John 3:5. Jesus said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. And so Jesus clarified that for him. When he's asked the question, can a man enter into his mother's womb and be born? That's not what Jesus was talking about. When Jesus spoke further, he said they must be born of water and of the Spirit. Then he was talking about something that meant he would have to have another birth, a second birth, born the first time of water, and that's the physical birth, and then born of the Spirit, that's the second birth. He said that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's human birth. That's the natural birth. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's the spiritual birth. And so he said, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. And so Jesus was talking about something that would be supernatural, something that would have to be of God, be born of God. Now, there's a passage in John chapter 1 and verse 10 and following. It says that Jesus came into the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, I believe that means his own people, Israel, and his own received him not. They rejected him. But as many as received him, verse 12, as many people as received him, and there were a few, including the disciples, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so Jesus was talking about then this spiritual birth. And it's not by baptism, it's not by the sacraments, it is by receiving the Savior. It's not receiving the sacraments or receiving baptism, it is by receiving a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, which were born, that's talking about born again, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We become the sons of God by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Dr. Phelps, you touched on something talking about the water in the John text. Some teach that you must have water baptism and spiritual baptism. And by the washing of the regeneration that is found in other texts, tell us why it is so confusing for some to think that baptism saves you. What is it that confuses the minds of people? And why is it that we have so many variant religions today that are teaching salvation, baptism saves you, that washes away? Can any water wash away sin?
Water cannot wash away our sin. There's a story in one of the works of Shakespeare of a woman who had murdered some of her political enemies. She had done so by slitting their throat, getting their blood on her hands. She went to later wash away the blood. It wouldn't wash away. The water did not take away. But the Bible teaches us that only the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, can cover sin. It's the only method that God uses to cleanse us. We believe then, because of that, that salvation is not by baptism, but salvation is in the beloved Son of God.
Yes. Dr. Phelps, let's digress for a moment. Pete Buttigieg, that is the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, running for president on one of the presidential candidates on the Socialist Democratic ticket. Pete Buttigieg is getting more and more brazen in his communication about his faith. And he keeps making fun of people like Vice President Pence and his faith, and because Vice President Pence believes what the Bible says and believes that homosexuality is a sin, that abortion is the sin of murder. And Pete Buttigieg keeps talking about his faith. And recently I watched a couple of blurbs by way of video of some of Buttigieg's statements in relationship to that. He claims that he's a practicing Christian, and yet he's a sodomite. He is practicing homosexual, married to a homosexual man. Now, my question, Dr. Phelps, and I believe it's a profound question, perhaps it goes without asking and being answered, but for our listeners' benefit, is it possible for a person to be saved and continue to live in a state of sin?
I would say no to that question, and I will tell you why. Because I believe if a person is truly saved, it means that God has brought about a change in his life. There's a change that is an inward change, changes our disposition, changes our position, our place before God, so that we become a new creation. We are changed by believing so that we are made free from the bondage of sin, the bondage of corruption. There are many ways that people are in bondage, and you spoke of one of those ways, the bondage of the sodomite lifestyle.
Yes.
We believe that the Bible teaches us that once we're changed, we're set free from that kind of lifestyle. Our lifestyle is changed. The scriptures tell us that God has brought about a change in my life and yours. And it's spoken of again in the book of Titus, chapter 2. And here's what it says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so we believe that a person who's really saved then does not have the license to go on living like the world does,
yes,
like he has lived before, but we have the liberty of living right.
Yes. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, Dr. Phelps, chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, the Apostle Paul is very clear in speaking to the church at Corinth, and he talks about, gives a whole list of what I call the 10 that are on the no-fly list, the 10 sins, the 10 perpetuating sins, and one of them is the homosexuality. And it says very clearly in that text that those that continue in that lifestyle will go to hell. And then when you look at Romans chapter 1, verse 24 and following, you find that those that are living the lifestyle of homosexuality, the Bible calls it sodomy, sodomite lifestyle, he's given them over to a reprobate mind.
Yes.
Basically release them to their own sin. And yet here's this smooth-talking Pete Buttigieg that says that he's saved, that he's a Christian, and wanted to tout his relationship to God through Christ as he claims it, but he is deceiving himself, and I believe can deceive others into believing that somehow, some way it's all right to have that lifestyle and continue to say that you're saved. But Dr. Phelps, as we study the scripture and understand that when we're saved, we have a new want to.
Yes.
Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new.
Yeah.
We're a new creation in Christ Jesus, and that's as a result of being saved. But let's get back to the John 3 text for just a moment. I'm concerned of the way that that is taught. A nationally recognized radio broadcaster, and for the sake of trying to be benevolent, I'm not going to call his name, but he's on multiple radio stations across the nation. He has thousands and thousands of messages that a person can upload and download and listen to. He is on many, many, many times a day across the dial. And he happened to be listening to him yesterday on a broadcast. And on the broadcast, someone had asked a question, said when it talks about in the John chapter 3 text, Dr. Phelps, it says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And writer had written and asked the question, what does it mean, born of water and of the Spirit? And this nationally known pastor, preacher, radio broadcaster referred that writer back to a text in Ezekiel chapter 36, Dr. Phelps. If you will turn there, let's talk about it for a moment for our listeners. He referred to them in Ezekiel 36, and he said it just Jesus was knew the Old Testament. Jesus is just quoting the Old Testament, and Jesus is referring to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, verse 25 is what he was speaking of. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of you, your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Now, verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I give you to your fathers, and you shall be my people. I will be your God. Dr. Phelps, does that text in Ezekiel 36 relate to biblical salvation?
I don't see the word salvation anywhere in the text that you read. We believe that the Bible teaches that God works a miracle in a person's life so that we become a new creation. God was simply talking to Ezekiel about the sanctifying work that he wanted to accomplish in Israel so that they could be the people of God and that he would be dwelling among them as well in the holy temple that would be established during the future millennial kingdom. God is not talking about salvation. We believe that scriptures teach us that we must be born again, born of the Spirit of God. And whenever we talk about water, physical water cannot affect a spiritual change within.
Absolutely. I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please. Are you there?
We believe that the emphasis that Jesus is making here in John chapter 3 has to do with the work of God that we call regeneration. And water does not bring about that change in us. Only by believing can that take place. Only by believing and receiving. In John chapter 1 and verse 12 again, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Believe me, but still, oh, it's putting faith in.
Yes.
I believe our caller's back on the line. Go over your question, comment, please.
No, I want to make a comment. I had a brother that he used to be a Franciscan priest, the Catholic. He was very devout and devoted to the religion. And to my surprise, one day we were talking about, you know, being a newborn Christian for a while. And I mentioned to him about the rapture of the church. And to my surprise, he told me, oh, we already know about it. I said, what? He said, yeah, we know about the rapture. And we know, you know, that that's going to happen. I said, so how come you teach your congregation? And the Catholics, how come you guys don't talk about it? And he told me, that's forbidden. We cannot mention that, because they're going to create chaos among the Catholic members. And I told him, so you are sending people to hell, not telling them the truth. He said, well, you know, it's just, you know, we make a commitment to the Catholic Church in Rome, and we cannot, you know, we cannot do that. I said, but you know the truth? He said, yeah, we know the truth, you know, because I'm on the Catholic. There's a movement that is the charismatics. They are questioning the scripture, and they are reading the scripture. As a matter of fact, my brother, after we had that conversation, he became to the Lord, and he's been a faithful Christian for almost 10 years. But to my surprise, I could not believe that they know the truth. But what happened is, from Rome, they pay for everything, because my brother, they used to pay him for everything, travel, hotels, clothing, everything. So it's either that, and you go with the lie, and you don't say anything, or we're going to stop what we're giving you. It's sad to say that these people, he's been sending people to hell for not telling them the truth in this day and age. And it's not only the Catholics. Unfortunately, there's many so-called Christians that they call themselves that they are doing the same thing to please in the world. So I think that's my comment. But many of the leaders in the Catholic Church, they know. They know there's a rapture. They know that Jesus died and the only way to heaven. But they have compromised with the Catholic Church. Either that or receive the material benefits. And it's sad to say they have received and they have decided to get the beneficial wealth and not talking to people the truth. It's unfortunate. Very sad.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your comment. You're exactly right. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's a difference in believing that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation and the only way. but it's also a matter of, is it Jesus plus this, plus that, plus the other? It's not Jesus plus Mary. It's not Jesus plus the sacraments. It's not Jesus plus good works. It's not Jesus plus the Catholic Church. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. Yeah. And it's through our faith and trust in Him as Savior and as Lord. And that's done on a volitional basis. Dr. Phelps, going back very quickly before our time has elapsed today, let's think further. I want to clarify something for our listeners. In what I'd said, this radio broadcaster, radio preacher, said in response to that question, what does it mean, the water? And he was very correct when he said, it doesn't mean baptism. It simply means that Jesus was quoting to Nicodemus that which he knew coming out of Ezekiel, and he gave the Ezekiel text. Dr. Phelps has a problem, and it's twofold. The major, major problem is dispensationalism, and that person that was making that statement, that pastor, preacher, national radio broadcaster, he is a Calvinist, and as a Calvinist, you reject dispensationalism. You cannot take Israel and take what God says to Israel and say that God is saying that for salvation to the church. Jesus Christ was not saying to Nicodemus, I'm going to sprinkle you with clean water, and you shall be clean. And that's not what Jesus was saying at all. And so I am in great consternation and concerned when I find those that should know better, albeit that particular person being a Calvinist, he believes that God has already predetermined who's going to be saved and who's not. So I don't know really how he could take that statement to Nicodemus and carry that to the extent that the Bible would have us to understand. Dr. Phelps, we've got about 2 minutes on our broadcast. Would you take these last 2 minutes and say to our listeners what they need to understand about biblical salvation, how you're saved, how you can know you're saved, and why it's important today to know that you're blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again.
We believe that the Bible teaches us that we must be born again. In order to accomplish the new birth, we believe that there must be the hearing of the Word of God.
Yes.
And the correct response to the hearing of the gospel of Christ then is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is by faith. God, in every age, it doesn't matter which age, there's only one way of salvation, that's believing God. And God's method of bringing about the new birth in believers involves the Spirit of God and the Word of God. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abides forever. So being born again is the spiritual birth we need in order to become the sons and daughters of God.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. If you've not done that, would you do that today? Simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm lost, on my way to a devil's hell. Forgive me my sins, come into my heart, and save me. Help me to live for you because you died for me. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to the next time as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.